Well, for hardcore planters, tree planting is more than just a job. It's a lifestyle. When New Brunswick native Jeff Schnurr finished high school, he wanted to travel. His plan was simple: plant trees in northern Ontario during the warm months of the summer and make enough money to travel in the winter. Well, it turns out he was really good at planting trees. So good, in fact, that a visit to Pemba Island in Tanzania turned into a long-term forestry renewal partnership with the local community. Jeff Schnurr of Community Forests International joins us now in our Montreal studio. Hello, Jeff. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks a lot for having me.
So this NGO you founded, Community Forests International, is based on the island of Pemba in Tanzania. Tell me a bit about that particular area.
It's an island off the coast of Tanzania, originally renowned for spice trade around the world. Their main industry is based on clove production, and they have a long history of Portuguese trading vessels stopping for boatloads of spices destined for, you know, the old world. And it's a rich sort of heritage of different sort of influences. So,
is it pungent? Can you smell the cloves?
Yeah, well, if you drive down the road in certain seasons when all the cloves are driving, you can smell cloves, you know, from your vehicle. So
now, what was the seed, so to speak, that got Community Forests International started?
I originally sort of had, like you said, done a sort of cycle of tree planting and travel, and sort of, you know, in my wanderings ended up on the island, and several local community members approached me and said, you know, do you think we can plant trees here like you've done in Canada?
How did they know that you were a tree planter?
I was originally there to visit a friend that was doing research with the Marine Conservation Group, and I'd spent enough time there that the word really sort of just got around. So I was approached by a local organization that sort of was interested in the possibilities of planting trees on the island.
Now, how has the local community been involved since?
The initial project began with just sort of throwing around ideas on, you know, was there a local interest?
What year was that?
In 2007. So we started visiting communities and talking about tree planting and how that could potentially be used for an income-generating activity or for environmental services like preventing coastal erosion or improving local habitat and biodiversity. And that year, we selected six communities that we thought would be good for this partnership, and we began sort of a process of teaching them how to collect seed from the forest around their communities, how to propagate seedlings in community-owned nurseries directly within their community, and then started the process of planting.
So that's how the projects are now working in these communities. Is it beyond six now?
Yeah, well, to date now we have 13 communities that have participated in this project, and it's really grown from the ground up.
Again, pardon the pun.
Yeah, pardon the pun. A community now typically would travel to our office, and they would send a member to come and wait for us. And we've had some of the most recent communities, when we've shown up, they've already built a rudimentary nursery because they're so eager for our support. So now it's generally just giving technical advice and aiding them through those first steps of learning how to grow and propagate their own trees, and then they take it from there.
What kind of trees are you growing there?
We grow over 10 species. A couple of them are species for timber, but we also grow mango, papaya, lemon, citrus.
They're trees. I'm belying my... I just pick them up in the store and don't know really where they come from. And so where are the trees now? I mean, in terms of height, are they still small bushes?
Well, one of the things that I find interesting coming from Canada is the trees don't stop growing. We've had growth rates of 10, 12 feet in the first year. So now there's trees that I've seen that we planted, you know, 18 months ago that are, you know, almost 15 feet high.
Of course, they don't have the winter to stunt the growth.
That's right. I tell people, you know, the trees don't go to sleep in Tanzania like they do here in Canada.
Oh, it must be very rewarding.
Yeah, it's been a great project.
So now, what reaction have you had from the Tanzanians?
Well, I think this project has really been a great way for us to start looking at some sort of long-term environmental relationships between local communities and their natural environment. By planting the tree, you start looking at the land around your community in the terms of a forest. So a lot of these communities are typical agricultural communities that plant for the next crop or go out and fish for the next harvest. But the long-term cycle of working with trees and dealing with trees has really sort of developed or blossomed into this this idea of looking at the natural resources through a long-term perspective. And that's been sort of one of the most exciting, you know, direct results from this project is now we have communities that sit down together and sort of talk about what the areas around their community are eventually going to look like in 5 years, 10 years, and what area they would prefer to use for things like goat grazing, what they would want to see a natural forest eventually regenerate into. So it's definitely been a shift of perspective.
How's all this being funded?
Our initial support was granted by the Finnish government in Tanzania, but now our project's largely supported by Canadian tree planters. One of the companies that I'd worked for in the past, called Brinkman Forest Restoration, has staged a company-wide fundraiser where Canadian tree planters can take one day of their season and donate a portion of their earnings to support the Pema Trees project. And I've been, you know, amazed just to see that type of support from, you know, young people that go and work, you know, to restore our forest. Then
we know it's pretty grueling work. Like if you're doing that, you I would imagine you want to be banking all that money. Many kids are going back to school with that money.
Yeah, and that's really been.
Did you go up and speak to them? Do they know? How do they know what this is doing?
Yeah, well, initially it was a lot of the people that I'd planted trees with that had sort of seen me between seasons, come and go, and then heard about this project and wanted to get involved, and now it's grown to really sort of. I feel like there's a strong ownership over this project between, you know, Canadian tree planters that haven't even visited, you know, Tanzania or just heard about Pemba Island through this project. But there's that group of people is very passionate about what they do. And I think that it's proven to be a great motivator. I've seen Canadian tree planters that said, you know, this is going to be a terrible day of planting trees. But they were inspired to go out and plant trees for Pemba.
Now, what kind of progress do you hope to see in, say, 20 years?
We're working now to sort of really put a strong environmental message into a lot of the stuff we do by trying to create learning trends based around a sustainable approach to dealing with the resources around our communities, you know, be it here in Canada or Tanzania or, you know, this could be relevant anywhere where people depend on the natural resources around their community. So it's important to build that.
How about in a place like Haiti? You know, we're hearing so much about the deforestation there.
Yeah, I think you know the strengthening of the natural environment around where we live is a great way to protect and ensure that there is some stability in our future. With, you know, the scope of climate change threatening, you know millions of people around the world. I think building that relationship up to actually know what the forest looks like around your community is a good start. But then finding ways that you can interact with it in a way that's going to both, you know, sustain you in the long run, but also improve that resource or that forest.
Get out and enjoy it.
Get out and enjoy it initially, and then find ways to use it that doesn't degrade it, or, you know, find ways that you can relate to improve it.
Where did all this start for you in New Brunswick?
I'm originally from Sackville, New Brunswick.
Sackville. There's not really a big forest around Sackville.
No, but there is the history of forestry in New Brunswick is there are a lot of people that have on their own through private woodlots built up a great history of, in my opinion, doing things right. You see some old growth trees and people that have managed to harvest wood from that woodlot for centuries. As it's passed through the family, and I think there's a lot of lessons on the small scale that could be used on a large scale as well, especially in the Canadian forest.
Well, thank you so much for coming in and telling us about this.
Thank you very much.
Jeff Schnurr is the Executive Director of Community Forest International. When he's not on Pemba Island in Tanzania, he lives here in Montreal, and we'll have the address to their website on our site at www.rcinet.ca/thelink.